This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. We're not going too far to catch up with our community reporter, Elizabeth Moeller. She joins us from Toronto this morning, although it's all a matter of relativity. If you're listening out in Vancouver, Toronto's a long way away, but typically we're flying a little closer to you to catch up with our community reporters. Hey, good morning, Elizabeth. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm happy to be here, and you're right. Don't have to fly too far just over to Hyde Park, and you'll find me.
Yeah, exactly. It's all a matter of relativity. Everything in life is a matter of relativity. Hey, Elizabeth, you recently had a chance to be part of a panel hosted by the Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians on inclusive and accessible education. I know that's a topic that you're very passionate about. What can you tell us about this panel that you were a part of?
Yeah, absolutely. So the panel was actually held at the end of April, and it featured five students at various levels. So some of the individuals on the panel were pursuing doctoral studies, some individuals were doing undergraduate, some were just finishing high school. But what was really impactful and I think very telling about the panel is the fact that all of us identified similar barriers, no matter where we were in our education. So one barrier, as we know, it's well documented, access to information. And what I think was really unique about this panel is it went beyond identifying barriers to solutions. So we talked a lot about COVID and how that's impacted our education. And I know we've chatted about that before, Dave, but what I really found interesting is how actually being online has helped a lot of students feel like they can participate more because they're not worrying about traveling to school or booking wheel trans or dealing with the snow and the ice if you're here in Toronto, and maybe the rain if you're out in Vancouver, and just dealing with all matter of orientation and getting to class. And so for some people, especially individuals I've spoken with who have episodic disabilities, really appreciated the ability to log on at home. So one of the things that on the panel we talked about was, could we have a hybrid model whenever we go back to what normal, quote unquote, is going to be? Could we have a model where we're in person and online for folks that require that? And I hope that every class will be streamed online. There's no reason, we've shown there's no reason why it can't be.
It is a very interesting observation. We know through all the struggles and difficult times the pandemic has presented, there is a framework that has been brought forward that could be applied moving forward. So that's an interesting observation, and it's good to see it's being hashed out a little bit in some of these panels. Elizabeth, what were some of your other takeaways in regards to solutions and challenges that are facing students with disabilities?
Yeah, I think a big takeaway really for me from this panel was the idea that it's so important for students at all levels to feel like we are part of a community of collaboration and that we have a response ability. I'm kind of doing a play on words to collective advocacy, because I think what really struck me when I was a part of that conversation is that coming together to share your story can be very, very healing, but also I think it can really motivate and really inspire other people who may be earlier along in their journey or may not have thought about the solution that you're proposing to a specific barrier. I know one thing we talked about was even just strategies around, what do you do when you're in a situation where perhaps you're dealing with faculty who don't understand or aren't as accommodating, and what are some tips and tricks? And we talked a lot even about things like how can we make sure that content is accessible and that people are trained? And we talked about the fact that a lot of faculty are precariously employed, so they're getting a course maybe 2 or 3 weeks before it starts, and training is not something that they're paid to do, so that's not right either. We need to make sure that universities are providing time for faculty to take accessibility training and paying and compensating as well. So we talked a lot about that. It's interesting for me, I'm a student, but I'm also a teaching assistant, so I'm sort of in this role where I have, I guess, both feet in both sides of the camp, as it were.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a balancing act on that one. It speaks to the way we need to find holistic solutions, not just one or two along the way. So definitely well said, well put. Elizabeth, let's go from looking in the past to looking into the future.
Because, whoa,
I know. Later this month, there's going to be an event called Let's Talk Apple that's going to be taking place virtually. So what's this event about and who's going to be hosting it?
Yeah, so it's going to be hosted by Apple trainer John Panarese and Apple support specialist Donna Jotton. And Donna's no stranger to this show. I've spoken many times about her mysteries on this show. It's going to be on the 22nd of this month of May on a Saturday. And it's going to be at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So bear that in mind. And it is a first come, first serve and a limit of 50 people. So they're going to be doing, it's a three-part approach to the event. So the first part is going to be talking about what are your hopes and dreams and what are your wishes for VoiceOver as a Mac user? So what does VoiceOver do well? How can we expand what VoiceOver does? What are some things you'd like to see it do? And then there's going to be a specific section on iOS, so your iPad, iPhone. And then the third part is just going to be sort of an overall, what do you think about Apple accessibility? So because it's a conversation, the registration is limited to 50, so do get registered quickly. If there's demand, Donna and John are going to host another Let's Talk Apple, but really do get registered because they are going to cap at 50. And the email is provided in the blog notes, so do check that out. It'll go to John for your registration. So do get that done. It has to be done by the 21st of May at noon.
Absolutely. I've got the email address right here as well. And as Elizabeth mentioned, it will be up on the website after the show, ami.ca/nowblog. But in the meantime, if you do have a pen and paper nearby, or you've got your smartphone ready to record or do a voiceover, it's john@macfortheblind.com. That's john@macfortheblind.com. Elizabeth, let's go back to the AEBC because they're going to be hosting a neat event. It's a trivia night, which have been super fun to do during the course of the pandemic. So what can we expect from this event?
Yeah, and you know, I was really deliberate that I brought back in AEBC because the proceeds from trivia are actually going to go to fund more of those wonderful panels that we spoke about earlier and events around education and employment awareness. So I really wanted to come full circle here. So on June 23rd in the evening, AEBC, which is Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians, is going to be hosting a trivia night. Now, tickets are $10, but if you want to sign up as a team, so Dave, that's a hint, $50 for the team. And there's an email there. You can contact Linda Spinney, LSPINNEY at rogers.com to do that sign up. Again, you're going to want to sign up sooner rather than later. And the nice thing about this is if you don't have a team, that's fine. You can go as a solo. But if you want to kind of get your A game on and get your team together, you can do that as well. And like I said, I was really excited to bring this one up because the proceeds from the trivia are going to go to funding more events like the education panel, the inclusive education speaker series, employer awareness and training. So I thought it would be a nice way to sort of wrap up all the work that the AEBC is doing. And I wanted to also mention that the panel that did happen at the end of April is going to be available on YouTube as well, so you can check that out.
Excellent. Yeah, you did bring that full circle, which is really well done. It's also just fair to note, the trivia nights are a lot of fun. I've been doing them as a host throughout part of the pandemic for my friends. Every time we do a larger Zoom call, which can get pretty unruly and out of control, we've always found a little bit of structure makes it more fun. So I've been kind of tabbed as the group trivia master on some of these Zoom calls.
I'll wait for my invite, Dave.
Well, you might be a little smarter than most of my friends, so they might be a little upset if I bring in a ringer like you. Hey, Elizabeth, always fun catching up with you. Thank you for making time for us today. Thank you for sharing these events, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Take care. May the 4th be with you. I know it's past, but...
May the 11th be with you, too. That's Elizabeth Moeller. She's our community reporter in Toronto. And, of course, if you do want more information about the events we covered, for example, like the AEBC Trivia Night, you can head over to our blog, ami.ca/nowblog, ami.ca/nowblog. Although I do have the phone number here for this AEBC event, so I'm going to read that out for you as well. It's 416-456-7117, 416-456-7117, or you can visit their website, blindcanadians.ca, blindcanadians.ca. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.